Thanking God for this opportunity. Thank you, thank you. Thanking God for this opportunity to be here. I know we have the same hairstyle, but I'm not Pastor Cofield. But I thank him for this opportunity to stand before you all this morning. Amen. Also glad to see my family's in the house. My better half isn't here this morning. Already had a prior trip planned, but my village is still here. My sister-in-law, my sister, and today's my nephew's birthday, little Manny. Happy birthday, Manny. 8 years old. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for allowing us to see this day, a day that was not promised to us. Lord, I ask, Lord, right now that you would sit down my flesh and that you would stand up your spirit in me. For I can't preach or teach this word without you, nor will I try. So, Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, God, that you would open up our eyes, Lord, that you would help us to apply this word to our lives. We just want to thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do. And we just praise you and thank you. It's these things we pray in the precious and the perfect and the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you would admit that you like attention? And most of you wouldn't raise your hand because we were taught to avoid the spotlight or to be humble. But the truth is, we all desire some level of attention. Some people just take it to another level. You know the people that always find themselves in the center of the room, or they arrive late to that event so that everybody can see them walk in. And on a more serious note, some individuals go to harmful extremes, even hurting themselves because they are desperate for someone to see them. But whether it's loud or subtle, the desire for attention is built into us. Do you remember as a child doing anything and everything to get your parents' attention? Look what I can do. Mama, see me? Look what I can do. Now, some of us are getting paid back in full because our kids desire that same level of attention. And most of the times it's when we're on the phone or when we're watching that game and our team is about to score a touchdown with 5 seconds left, right? But in every human relationship, romantic, familial, or friendship, we long for attention. We want to feel seen, heard, and valued. When we're sick, we want someone to check on us. When we're hurting, we want someone to notice. When we're lonely, we want someone around. And this longing doesn't just stop in our human relationships. It shows up in our relationship with God. We want to know that when we pray, that God is listening. That when we cry, he sees our tears. That when life gets hard, and it will, he hasn't turned his face. So some of us here this morning are wondering, does God see me? Does he care? Am I still on his mind? And I won't wait to the end of the message to encourage you by letting you know that you have God's attention. He hears your prayer. He sees your pain, and he knows your burdens, and he's not ignoring you. You had God's attention before the foundation of the world. You had his attention before your first breath, before your parents, your grandparents, and their parents ever existed. And the ultimate proof is God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. So if Calvary doesn't show you how much attention God pays to your life, I don't know what does. So as we explore the word this morning in Exodus Chapter 2, we're going to focus on verses 23 through 25. I want you to hold on to this truth. In your groaning, your waiting, and your silence, you are not forgotten or unseen. So with the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit, I would like to use for a title for today's message, You Have God's Attention. You have God's attention. In Exodus 2, the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for nearly 400 years. And just as God had told Abraham in Genesis 15 and 13. But to truly understand how they got there, we need to quickly revisit the story of Joseph, one of Jacob's 12 sons. Joseph, deeply loved by his father, was hated by his brothers because of the dreams that one day they would bow down to him. Their jealousy led him to plot his death, but instead they threw him into a pit and eventually sold him to traitors headed for Egypt. And although he was sold into slavery, things were looking up when Potiphar placed him in charge of his household until he was accused of a crime that he didn't commit. It looked like Joseph's life was spiraling out of control, accused and imprisoned, but every step was divinely ordered. God used his gift of interpreting dreams to elevate him from the prison to the palace, making him second in command under Pharaoh. But when famine struck, his brothers came to Egypt for food. Joseph was now in charge of food distribution. When his brothers arrived for that relief from the famine, they didn't recognize Joseph, but he knew them. And after testing them, he revealed his identity, not with revenge, but with forgiveness. Joseph's family eventually relocated to Egypt, prospered and multiplied, fulfilling God's promise to make Abraham's descendants a great nation. But over time, Joseph died, and a new Pharaoh rose to power, one who didn't know Joseph. And seeing the Israelites grow in numbers, the Egyptians enslaved them out of fear. And that brings us to our selected text. Imagine what those Israelites felt after centuries of forced labor. Imagine what our descendants felt after centuries of forced labor, generation after generation, wondering if God was real, wondering if God still cared. Did he still see them? Did they still have his attention? And if we're honest, some of us have felt that same way. You've prayed for years, but your situation hasn't changed. Your marriage still struggles. Your children are still distant. Your job is still draining. And if what's happening in the White House will affect your future. You tried to tie a knot at the end of your rope, but there's no more rope left to tie. You believe in God, but deep down inside you're beginning to ask, do I still have God's attention? So the first thing we want to see this morning and we want to take away is you have God's attention because he hears you. Look at verse 24a. It says, God heard their groaning. In the previous verse, the Bible says they cried out for help. But it doesn't say exactly who they cried out to. Some may have cried out to the God of their fathers, but others may have cried out to those Egyptian gods, desperate for relief. But here's the miracle in the moment. Their cry went up to God. And it doesn't say that God heard their prayer. It says that he heard their groaning. Groaning, 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 groaning. Groaning goes beyond words. Groaning happens when your soul is heavy and your spirit is tired. It's a language of pain, depression, and exhaustion. And God didn't just hear what they said, but he heard what they couldn't say. He heard the moans of mothers who had lost their sons. He heard the weary sighs of fathers who were broken down by the hard labor. He heard the nightly weeping of families broken by bondage. And remember that Pharaoh had issued a decree that all first children would be thrown into the Nile River. That was genocide. And in the middle of all of that suffering, God heard them. He wasn't ignoring their pain. He was collecting their tears. David said in Psalm 56 and 8 that God collected his tears in his bottle. That means that no cry, no whisper, no groan ever goes unnoticed by God. There was a little girl. She was lying in bed one night while her mother was in the other room. And she was softly crying, just small sniffles. And her mother heard her. And so her mother, she walked in and she sat on the side of the bed. And she said, "Baby, why didn't you call for me?" And the little girl, she wiped her eyes and she said, "Mama, I didn't have the strength to call out loud, but I was crying." And her mother, she smiled and she pulled her in close and she said, "You didn't have to call me. I heard your cry." And that's how God is with his children. Even when you don't have the strength to pray out loud, even when the words won't form on your lips, God hears your heart. And you may think that your prayers are unanswered, but God has not missed a single cry. And just like Israel, God wasn't being slow to respond. He was preparing them for what was to come next. You see, deliverance is not just about bringing you out of something, but it's also preparing you to walk into something greater. God had to wean Israel off of Egypt. He had to strengthen their faith. He had to get Egypt out of their hearts before he brought them in to the promised land. And I need someone to know this morning that God is using this season to prepare you. I remember earlier in my career, fresh out of college, my first job, after about almost 2 years, I was laid off. I said laid off, not fired. I was laid off. But that time was, it was hard. I was hundreds of miles away from my family, living on my own in a different city. And I just remember how I'm going to make it and how I'm going to get through job application after job application being turned away. And 8 months later, I received a job. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm on the up now, and worked for another 2 years and I was laid off again. But I remembered from that first situation how God sustained me and how he kept me and how he was preparing me for the next time. And sometimes we're asking for a breakthrough, but God is building our strength. We're asking for a promotion, but God is developing our patience. We're praying for healing, but God is deepening our trust. So don't confuse delay with denial. What appears to be silent might be a strategy. You see, God has our attention. He's just working on us before he works it out. Secondly, you have God's attention because he remembers his promises. Verse 24b, it says, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God made a covenant with Abraham, a holy agreement that he would multiply his descendants, that he would give them the promised land, make them a great nation, and that through his lineage, all families of the earth would be blessed. And that promise was confirmed to Isaac and then passed on to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And now, generations later, while they were still in slavery, while they were still groaning under Pharaoh's cruelty, God remembers what he said. Right. Now, don't miss this. When the Bible says God remembered, it's not suggesting that God forgot. God doesn't have memory lapses. He's not like us. In the Hebrew, the word remembered means to bring something to the forefront with the intention to act. So when God remembered his covenant, he wasn't being reminded. He was saying, it's time to move. It's time to work. It's time to fulfill what I promised. God has not forgotten what he told you. You may not see it or you may not feel it yet, but if he said it, he'll do it. And that's the good news, because we forget all the time. We forget appointments. We forget birthdays. And although the parking lot isn't full this morning, somebody probably forgot where they parked. And in fact, I was in a little trouble last week because I forgot to remind the kids to do some things around the house. But God is not like us. People will change their mind. They'll ghost you. They'll promise to be there and then they'll vanish. But God doesn't break his word. We must remember to keep our word. But God keeps his word because he can't forget. And some people remind God of his promises like he's late. Lord, remember what you said? I'm still single. I'm still struggling. I've been waiting. But the truth is, God is never late. He's just making sure that you're ready. And let's be honest this morning. If God had given us some of the things that we asked for when we wanted them, we would have ruined them. We weren't spiritually mature enough. We weren't healed enough. We weren't ready to handle it with gratitude. So while you wait for your promise, don't just pray for it to show up. Pray for God to prepare you to receive it. Sometimes Sometimes we continually, we ask God to remember what he said. But what about the promises we made to him? You said, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you. You said, Lord, if you bless me with this job, I'll tithe faithfully. You said, Lord, if you restore my health, I'll testify. But that was 5 years ago, and some of us are still sitting on our gifts. God remembers his covenant, but do you remember yours? And here's the shouting part. God remembered his covenant with Israel, and he remembers his promises to you. He hasn't forgotten what he said, and he hasn't canceled what he spoke. So don't ask the Lord, when will it happen? Ask the Lord, what are you doing in me while I wait? Because when the time is right, when you're ready and when his plan aligns, God's promises will always come to pass. Thirdly, not only does God remember his promises, but you have God's attention because he sees you. Verse 25a, it says, God saw the sons of Israel. That means that while they were enslaved and beaten down and crying out, God saw them. And can I get a witness this morning that we serve a mighty God? He's not just all powerful, but he's all seeing. He doesn't miss anything, not one tear, not one sleepless night. God's eyes have been on his creation since the beginning of time. In Genesis 1, when God said, let there be light, he saw the light was good. God is always watching. He's always aware. He's always attentive. And the Bible says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. For every one of those 400 years that Israel spent in bondage, God saw it all. He saw their oppression and he saw their pain. And the same way that he sees them, he sees us. My son, he's in a little jiu-jitsu class and a bunch of 5 and 6 year olds active. And sometimes when I think that he's a little too active, I look over there at him and he'll look back at me with the, yeah, I saw you, son. And do you remember when your parents and grandparents would see you from across the room? They didn't have to say a word. It was just that one look, and you could be sitting there quiet, but you thought you were slick, right? But they didn't. They looked at you and they saw what you were doing. They knew what was going on and they cared about what you were doing and that connection. When you looked at them, you knew that what they meant, that they didn't even have to say a word. And that's how God sees us. He doesn't need to explain it because he already knows. His eyes are on you, not to judge, but to love and protect and to deliver us. And some of us ask, we say, Lord, if you see me, why haven't you fixed it yet? Why does it feel like you're silent? Let me see if I can help. Just because God hasn't moved yet doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It doesn't mean that he doesn't see. It means that he's getting ready. Getting ready to do what? I'm glad you asked. He's getting ready to raise a deliverer. He's getting ready to part some Red Seas. He's getting ready to show himself strong. We won't always understand his timing, but we should be able to trust his character. God sees you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're carrying, and he will step in right on time. So don't give up or throw in the towel. You have God's attention because he sees you. I'm about to get out of your hair, Good Hope, and get ready to sit down and be happy all by myself. But lastly, you have God's attention because he knows you. The last part of verse 25, it says, and God took notice of them. God understood the condition the Israelites were in. He had always observed their bondage. He had seen their tears. He heard their groans and he knew the burdens that they carried. But this wasn't just distant sympathy. This was intimate awareness. He knew every detail about them, including their oppression, their fears, and, and generations of pain. But what makes this knowledge so powerful is that it was a knowledge that moved God to respond. It was now God's timing to begin delivering them from their bondage. It was now God's timing to fulfill the covenant that he made with Abraham. It was time for God to move, not because he had just discovered their pain, but because he had already prepared the answer. While they were waiting and while they were crying in Egypt, God was developing Moses in Midian. The same Moses who had once fled Pharaoh was now a shepherd, having his character shaped by God. He was being discipled by God. He didn't know it yet, but God was preparing him to be the one to lead his people out. And just like God took notice of the Israelites, he knows you too. And God's omniscience means that he knows everything about you, your situation, your pain, your personality, and even your capacity. He knows how much you can bear, and when your heart is heavy, even when your mouth says, "I'm fine." You have God's attention, and he's noticed you. It might seem like it took God 400 years to respond to the Israelites' cry, but every time they cried, God heard. Every time that they groaned and every time they prayed, God responded. If God hadn't been responding, Pharaoh would have wiped them out completely. But instead, they multiplied and became mighty. And that's not coincidence. That's God's quiet faithfulness. And throughout their affliction, God showered his grace. And I need you to know, even when it feels like you've been overlooked, God noticed you. He knows your cry. He knows your struggle, and he's preparing your deliverance. There are millions of voices in this world crying out, but when you cry, when you whisper that silent prayer, God knows your voice. So stay faithful and stay hopeful, because God has taken notice of you. He's not just watching, he's working. He's not just hearing, he's preparing. He's not just aware, he's about to move. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You have God's attention because he knows you. And I'm encouraged this morning that I have God's attention. And I don't have to jump through hoops. I don't have to jump up and down just to get it. He shows me every time. God already knows what I'm going through. He already knows what I stand in need of. And just like the Israelites cried out in Egypt, our cries reach heaven too. But if we're honest, sometimes it feels like our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling or bouncing off the wall, and like God has turned his back on us. But here's the truth. The only reason God wouldn't grant us a request is if he knows that it will cause us more harm than good. So God is actually protecting us when he doesn't grant our requests. And I don't know about you, but I thank God for the prayers that he didn't answer, because even when I didn't understand it, he was protecting me. We serve a loving and a caring God. The Bible tells us to cast all our cares upon him, because he cares for us. So that means that he invites us to bring him our stress and our strain. He invites us to lay down our burdens. He wants us to trust him with our tears and to let him to wipe our eyes. That lets me know that without a doubt, God has our attention. So we can be sure of this. We have God's attention because he hears us. We have his attention because he remembers his promises. He sees us and he knows us. And since we have God's attention, does he have ours? God doesn't just give us attention so that we can feel seen. He gives us attention so we can follow him. God's attention always comes with an invitation. An invitation to relationship and transformation. And that's what discipleship is all about. Learning to keep our eyes on the one who has never taken his eyes off of us. Thank God this morning for his attention. And thank God for his care. So as we prepare to open the doors of the church, as you stand all over the sanctuary, we want you to invite you to that relationship with a God who gives us all of his attention.
Yes, sir.
We're not always focused on God. In fact, some of us may have been in the sanctuary this morning not focused on God. But he's always focused on us. He loves us. He cares for us. He wishes that no one should perish. So I ask that you would search your heart this morning. If you've been feeling that tug, we invite you to come. Come to embrace a relationship with an amazing God. A God that you could put all of your trust in, all of your hope in. A God that doesn't just promise us the right now, but an everlasting and an eternal future. That's the type of God we serve. And it's a personal relationship. It's not a distant one. He comes and resides inside you, leading you and guiding you. Maybe you're looking for a church home, and we invite you to come and join us on your journey. As Pastor Kofi always says, we're not a perfect church, but we're all striving to make heaven our home. And we want you to come and be discipled amongst